So one morning, a couple, Pat and Joe, go down to breakfast, as they do each morning. And as Pat and Joe sit down to breakfast, Pat happens to glance out the window. And as Pat glances out the window, can't help but notice the neighbor's laundry. And as Pat looks at the laundry, realizes it's rather quite dirty. And thinks like, wow, I mean, did you even bother to wash the clothes? And begins to complain about what a terrible job they have done in the laundry. And as Pat does that, Joe simply takes a cup of coffee and says nothing. So now the next morning, Pat and Joe sit down to breakfast, but this time, Pat makes it a point to look out the window and see how the laundry's doing. And is not disappointed because it's even dirtier than yesterday. And begins to talk about what a terrible job these people do, and my goodness, can't they do better with their laundry? And don't they realize what they look like doing such a terrible job with the laundry and hanging out there for all their laundry for everyone to see? And Joe takes a drink of coffee and rightly says nothing because Jess doesn't want to be a part of this. And so now the next day, as they go down to breakfast, Pat makes it a point to walk right over to the window to get a really good look at the laundry. And my goodness, it is so dirty. And goes on about how this is the dirtiest laundry I have ever seen. What is wrong with these people? You know, they're making us all look bad by having all their dirty laundry hanging out there for everyone to see. And Joe takes a drink of coffee and says nothing. Now, the next morning, as Joe is walking downstairs, Pat runs so quickly, pushes Joe to the side to get to the window to get a look, and is shocked. The laundry is completely clean. I mean, in fact, it's amazingly clean. It's bright and it's white. And says, well, what's wrong with these people? If they actually knew how to clean their laundry, why didn't they clean it sooner? I mean, what have they done to make their laundry so clean? And Joe, not taking a sip of coffee, says, well, I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows. So it turns out that all the dirt that Pat was seeing is because Pat was looking through dirty windows. And so that's what I want to talk about today as we continue our series, Follower. Right, that Jesus actually invites us to follow. Right, now as he follows, what he's inviting us to do is to look at his way of life and how he lived his life and his teachings and what we learn from his teachings. And that's what we're talking about in this series, is that how do we look at what we can see from the life of Jesus? How do we look at what we can learn from the teachings of Jesus to live our lives more the way he calls us to? Remember, last week we actually looked at these words from Jesus. He says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. And here's the promise of Jesus, is that if we listen to his teachings, if we look at his ways, it's not about narrowing our lives. It's about expanding our lives, having more full lives, living more completely as we are created to be, to embrace the gifts that life has, and to be part of being the gifts that life gives to others as well. And the thing is that, as we continue this, what I want to really look at is this idea of maybe the need for all of us to consider cleaning our windows, or at least taking a moment to take a second to see how clean our windows are. Because as we talk about having clean windows in this case, what we're really talking about is that how do we look at the world? I mean, what is our viewpoint? I mean, when we look out on the world, when we look at the TV set, when we look at another person, we look at someone who's different than us, who behaves differently than we do, or looks differently than we do. Do we expect to find bad things? Do we expect to find problems? Do we expect the world to be filled with problems all around us? Because you know what? If you look for problems, if you look for bad things, you're going to find them. And I think that's the viewpoint that we need to kind of be careful about. And I think that we live in a time where that seems to be almost a default state of things, that we kind of wake up each day just looking for problems. In fact, there are entire cable news networks who make their livings off of making sure they can point out every single problem that's out there, even if they have to make them up. And if we begin to look at the world that way, we're looking at the world through dirty windows. And Jesus kind of lays out, kind of as one of his followers, how we're meant to live. And as Jesus kind of lays out this idea of following, there's this one message that he shared that is probably one of his most famous. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it sounds like a really fancy name, but it's called that kind of for a really simple reason. That as Jesus was there that day, so many people had crowded around him to hear what he had to say, that if he just stayed on the ground level, most people wouldn't have been able to see him. Most people wouldn't be able to hear him. So he actually climbed up on a small hill so they could hear and see him. And the Sermon on the Mount is a really important sermon that Jesus shared because it really lays out this idea of being a follower and what it means to follow Jesus. And remember, Jesus would often talk about this thing called the kingdom of God, that there's this power of presence of God around us, and we can either tap into it or ignore it. And so as Jesus describes this kingdom of God, he's saying that if you want to tap into that, if you want to experience that, these are the things to do in our lives. And he talked about a wide array of things, but I want to look at just one of the things he talked about there, which is this. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Imagine if that came to light immediately in our lives. Imagine the moment we judge someone, whatever we just judged them about flew up in our own faces. Imagine if it turned around that quickly. We'd probably look at it a lot differently. And it could be clear, I'm not judging you. I do it. Right? We all do it sometimes. And I'm simply asking us to consider to try to do it less. I mean, ideally, we wouldn't do it at all. But let's just try to do it a little better. Let's recognize that when we're busy judging others, it matters. I mean, how we treat people matters. And how we treat people isn't just our visible actions, right? If we are judging someone in our minds, we may convince ourselves that no one knows, but it shows up. If we have a judgmental attitude towards someone, we don't treat them the same. I mean, we can kind of pretend, but there's always this dialogue running in the back of our minds about what we really think and what's going on, and it will show up, and it will affect things. And as we do that, it impacts our ability to be a positive influence in the world. It actually impacts our own abilities to experience the world in a meaningful way. Because there's something that goes on when we're judging people. And you may not think in these terms, and I may not consciously think in these terms, but this is what we're doing. When we judge somebody, what we're doing is we're looking at a specific moment in their lives, oftentimes a very low moment in their lives, or maybe just something that they struggle with. And we decide, well, because I could do that thing okay, and they can't, I'm better than them. I feel like I'm superior to them. I mean, that's what we're really doing, right? Because if we didn't feel that way, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't think it. So somehow, it means that we think it's okay at times to look through dirty windows. To say that in this case, the benefit to me at looking at people that way is sufficient to do it. But the thing is that kind of attitude, even if it's just a small part of our lives, is really going to infect our lives. It's kind of like a thing that kind of gets into a cut. And if we don't deal with it, it starts to shape us. It starts to change us. And so what I want to invite us to do is kind of examine how we look at our lives. Again, this is not a call you to the floor situation. I'm just asking us to take some time to think about it. To think of those situations where, you know, the person in front of you in line is just being really frustrating and annoying. And, you know, and you've got time management. It's not that it's not a problem. But just don't judge them about it. Don't look down on them about it. I mean, this may shock you, but I like to move fast. And people always laugh when I say that. I don't get it. And when people take an extended period of time in line, it drives me crazy. And doesn't change anything except really ruin my day, sort of thing. I'm getting out of line. I'm finishing what I'm doing in the same amount of time. I can either spend it all mad and spun up, possibly judgmental, or I could say, wow, you know, 90 seconds of quiet wouldn't be all that bad in my life right now. But I choose the noise. I actually choose to create the noise instead of taking the time to be quiet. And Jesus talks very specifically about this issue of focusing on where other people fall short as opposed to looking at how we can improve and how we can improve a situation. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes on to say, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Never heard that verse, right? If you've ever walked by a church, you've heard that verse, right? Again, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? And Jesus is really clear that he doesn't see this as a minor issue. Because he goes on to say, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So in other words, when you've got it all figured out and you're all worked out and all of your issues are behind you, then if you feel up for it, after you get done doing all of that, maybe you can go talk to your friend about it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not there for people. That doesn't mean we don't hear from people. Right? If someone's harming themselves, it doesn't mean we don't bother to get involved. But what he's saying is that we need to look at our own lives, particularly when we find ourselves having a judgmental attitude. Because when we judge people, we are generally judging them based on some standard that we have created. Like when I'm frustrated behind someone in line, I've set the standard that transaction should have taken 22 seconds, right? And it's taking 28 and I've just had enough. I can't stand it anymore, right? But that's really what I'm doing. You know, when someone is holding you up in traffic or someone, you know, is just kind of telling you a story for the 50th time and you just don't want to hear it anymore. And you start judging them for it. What we're saying is that I have set a standard for behavior. I have set a standard for how I expect things to go. And they're just not living up to it. So I'm going to judge them for it. But then if I follow Jesus' advice here about getting rid of the log in my own eye, how many times do I set a standard and I don't live up to it? How many times have I decided that I'm not going to do that thing anymore? Or I'm going to try to do something to improve myself. Or I'm going to try to make a difference. I'm going to volunteer more. I'm going to take better care of myself. I'm going to be more patient. And when I fall short, oh, I have a reason for why I fall short. But when others struggle, I don't want to extend the same thing to them. And here's the thing, and this is what Jesus is really showing us, is that if we focus always on other people's actions, we're, again, looking through a dirty window. We are causing ourselves to get upset. We are causing ourselves to not experience our lives as well as we could. And we are harming that other person, right? Because even if they don't know what we're doing, we're meant to love people. If we're not loving towards people, we're denying them our love. But if I will take an attitude of, how do I address things? How do I look at my own life? Where am I falling short? How could I do better? How could I make a bigger difference? How could I be more present with my family? Right? How could I change some of my other activities to make the people in my life more important? If I start to do that, it starts to change everything. Because it starts to change me. Starts to change the way I treat other people. And if I do that, I'm actually bringing love and light in other people's lives. Now, kind of the good news is that if you find yourself being judgmental sometimes, you are not the first person in history to be judgmental. I imagine as long as there were people, at least as long as there were two of them, somebody was judgmental, right? And we know it was a problem 2,000 years ago because Jesus is talking about it. So it was clearly a problem then. And it's certainly an issue today. You know, and I feel like we live in a time where the bar for judging people has gotten incredibly low. You know, as I mentioned, right, there are entire cable networks, and whichever one you watch, I'm sure that's not one. But there are entire cable networks that make their living off getting us spun up about things. And to be clear, on both sides of the political spectrum, but I'm sure the one you watch isn't one of those. Because we kind of like it, right? We kind of like it. Because it does make us feel superior. And it does keep us from looking at ourselves. And as we find entire groups of people that we're going to decide are no good, you know, when someone, again, looks different than us, if someone, God forbid, votes differently than I do, there must be something wrong with them. Because, of course, we can judge every human being about one thing we know about them, right? That's facetious, just to be clear, right? We should not judge human beings based on just one thing we know about them. But that's kind of what we do, right? If you're in that political party, you're a problem. You know, if you support a certain issue, you're a problem. Right? It doesn't mean that there isn't a fundamental idea of truth and wellness and so forth, but we just don't want to bundle people up based on things I have decided to oppose. Because maybe, just maybe, it's possible for two people to have differing opinions on one specific issue and still get along, and still maybe even be friends, certainly at least be respectful to one another. Maybe it's possible. Doesn't look like it if I watch my news very often. But we don't have to let the news tell us what to do. We don't have to let anyone out there tell us how to act or how to be. Right? We have one perfect example. Jesus. And Jesus says, why don't you take some time to look at what you're dealing with and address those things and cut the other folks a break a little bit. So that's the one I think that I'm going to put my bet on. Now, again, this is an issue that has been recurrent, and people kind of deal with this issue, and they encounter this issue, or we encounter this issue, on many different levels. And sometimes it can be really kind of small things that we decide is a hill to go die on, that this is the one issue I'm just not going to move on. And interestingly, it happens inside the church a lot too. That we could agree on what I would believe are the core issues, right? That for me, it's Jesus is who he says he is. He did what he said he would do. That his lessons are the way to live our lives. If we agree on those things, the rest of it's just kind of window decoration to me, right? For some people, you know, very ornate churches are a really big deal. For some people, dressing up really, really, you know, really well for church is a big deal. Clearly, I'm one of those people. Right? But I believe, for me, the way I most connect with God is being who I am and being comfortable the way I dress and creating an environment that when someone walks in, they feel comfortable. That's the most important thing to me. That doesn't mean that it's someone else is wrong who really wants to dress up for church. Right? These kind of issues, these are third-tier issues. Yet we fight over them. You know, some churches have Jesus on the cross. Our church has Jesus off the cross. We don't need to fight about that, right? It's how someone connects to God. And these kinds of issues, they go back to the earliest days, because the Apostle Paul actually writes about these kind of small fights and these small judgmental issues that were arising over smaller issues in the early church. Now, Paul writes this just a few decades after Jesus, and he's writing to a church located in Rome. Now, Rome was a very successful church in spite of a really difficult environment. It was a very successful church with lots of people in it. But it was starting to have factions. It was starting to have divisions. And Paul felt like he had to deal with that. So Paul writes this about judging each other, and we'll get to the issues they were actually fighting about. So Paul writes, "Why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we all stand, excuse me, contempt, sorry. So why, I'm going to start again because I blew it, sorry. Why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. So Paul's saying that, you know, you're judging people for issues. And you're out there judging them, focusing on how they fall short. And you know what? Judging people may make you feel superior, but judging people doesn't actually make you superior. Judging people doesn't make you better than others. And he says that, just to be clear, that in the end, we're all going to be judged by God. That we're all going to give an account of our lives, of the choices we have made before God. And so what he's saying is that when you kind of stand before God at the end of your life, and God's talking to you, God's not going to go, hey, you know what? You were really good at judging people. And I've got this lady, Sally, over here, and I don't really know what to do with her. So what's your opinion? Thumbs up or thumbs down on Sally? What are you thinking? He's saying, you know, it's funny. It's funny when you say it out loud sort of thing, right? You know, it's funny. I did that in my notes and stuff, but it's actually funnier now they say it out loud. But we know better. We know better that what we do matters. What we do matters. And we don't know exactly how it plays out in the end, but we are told that in the end, the choices we make, we will give an account for. And the thought that we might actually be answering for what we thought of what other people did, instead of saying, I tried to do as best I could, and I just couldn't get there. I can't imagine that there's nothing but mercy for the person who says, I tried as best I could to get better, and I just couldn't get past my thing. I would not want to say that, no, I chose to not look at my thing because I was busy judging someone else's. And Paul goes on to tell us that, you know, there's no real upside to being judgmental of people other than a temporary high for feeling superior. Paul tells us that there's a real possible dangerous downside to being judgmental. Because he goes on, and as he goes on and talks about the challenges of being judgmental, look at the issues that people are fighting about. He says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Now, you know what they were actually fighting about? Was certain food okay to eat? The one person said, this particular food is okay to eat. And someone else said, no, it's not. You're not allowed to eat that. Some people were fighting over the fact, should there be special holy days in the year? And other people said, no, I think that kind of every day should be the same, that we should be connected to God the same all the time. Right? It's kind of like, do I dress up or do I dress down? Like for me, seeing things largely the same, dressing casually, that's why I feel connected to God all the time. For someone else, you know, wearing their kind of their church clothes, right? And having special days of the year where they go in into a church and they connect with God through that. Those are both great ways to live. Yet they were judging each other for that. And I mean, honestly, you know, we don't have those kind of fights in this country so much, but across denominations that happens. I mean, how many people have died in Ireland over those exact kinds of issues? And so he's saying that, Paul's saying that you make sure you understand what you're doing this about. And then the larger point he makes here is that when we judge people, he talks about creating a stumbling block or an obstacle. What's he saying? That when we are judgy of people, particularly if you consider yourself a Christian or you consider yourself a Jesus follower, you run the risk of your behavior driving someone from God. Because when we're judgy of people, people know. I mean, in fact, some people, when I flip on the TV, are very happy to call themselves Christians and judge all kinds of people. And I have not found that to draw anyone to God. And it doesn't mean that there aren't behaviors that need to be addressed. It doesn't mean that we don't want to get healthier. But we are not called to judge people. When Jesus calls us to follow, he calls us to lead lives that point people toward God. How do I know that? Because he tells us to live as he lived. And what did he do? His entire life was about pointing people towards God. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to begin to focus on our own lives and recognize, how can I do better? And a big part of doing better is connecting better with other people, being present with other people, being supportive of other people. Because if we actually undertake this process of saying that I'm going to try to address my issues, it reframes our entire worldview. Because if I simply point out everyone else's flaws and someone has an issue with an addiction or other habit that's just that they're wrestling with, it's very easy for us to go, you know what? Why don't they just get their act together? You know, their problems would go away if they would just get their act together. But when I focus on my own issues, and I have to actually go through the struggle of trying to get healthier, of trying to get well, of trying to give up a bad habit, of trying to develop a positive habit, it turns out that just deciding to do it's not enough. It actually takes work. And as we actually go through that work in our own lives, we go, wow, this is kind of hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And then it occurs to us that if it's hard for me, maybe it's hard for them too. So rather than judging them for where they're falling down and why they just aren't getting healthier fast enough, we start to say, well, this was a process. And maybe someone helped me through my process. Maybe I can help that person through their process. Maybe I can actually focus on how I can do better, get healthier, make a difference, and be part of helping someone else get there as well. That we begin to release that attitude of superiority and embrace the gift that our life is. And the thing that I want us to really kind of take with us on this is this idea that we find what we're looking for. Well, I started out at the beginning talking about, if I always look for bad things, what am I going to find? Bad things. But what if I reframed my life? What if I cleaned my windows so I was always looking for good things? What am I going to find? I'm going to start to find good things. Now, this doesn't mean that everything's good, right? There are still real problems in the world. There are real challenges in the world. But if I fortify myself with goodness in my life, when I encounter those challenges, I've got the strength to deal with them. I've got the attitude to deal with them, that I'm willing to be the light that runs towards the darkness. And the thing here is, if our windows are clean, not only do we let the light in, but what happens? If you walk by a window that's bright and clean at night and they turn the light on, the light shines out. If we're willing to clean our windows, we're willing to change the way we look at the world, we're willing to change the way we look at people, we let the joy of the goodness come in, and the light of God that's in us shines out. And that begins to change everything.